Welcome to the show. Oh my gosh. We're back. We had a week off. I hope everyone had a wonderful Labor Day. And I hope you guys enjoyed the reset of the discussion with dear friend Hua Yutek about that was a tough one. Abusive relationships and how to overcome that and how to find yourself. That was something that was deeply personal for both myself, talking about my ex-wife and all that good stuff, and Hua as well. And I hope you guys enjoyed that, because that was quite an episode. And today, we have something for you as well. Normally when I do these, I have like pages and pages of notes, because, you know, I want to be prepared. I want to lead the discussion, kind of figure out where we're going to go. But today I almost have none, because today I want to listen and I want to learn. I had plans for what we were going to do, what we were going to talk about, but that all kind of went into the recycling bin, because we recycle here, on Wednesday morning, when, about an hour after I dropped off my kids from school, my phone started blowing up. It was my day off, and, the news started hitting about, a school shooting in Georgia. And, you know, I watched it throughout the day, and it's just, you know, the emotions are, I mean, as someone hundreds and hundreds of miles away, even watching that, having kids that are in school, and, you know, it's in Green Bay here, it was their first day of school. So it's like their first day of school, and here we are again, you know. And so all of those plans kind of went by the wayside, because I wanted to talk to someone who is in this sphere, and I don't want to say in this sphere of like, but just someone who works in this arena for common sense gun reform. And I talked to my brother, and he put me in contact with Mr. Jay Walker, who is the co-founder of an organization in New York City called Gays Against Guns. And so he is in this arena. So I do want to give a warm Rational Revolution to Rational Revolution welcome here to Mr. J. W. Walker, the president and co-founder of Gays Against Guns. Jay, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for your time, and thank you for, you know, your advocacy. I prepared a little bit, but I really wanted, like I said, I really wanted to just be someone who's learning here today. And I you know, looked at what you do. I know my brother, I think, did some of your protests and you know, organization stuff in D.C. And we can talk about all that later. But I wanted to just kind of start to, you know, tell us about yourself and what does your organization do?
Yes. So Gays Against Guns was founded within a couple of days of the Pulse nightclub mass shooting in Orlando, Florida, back in June of 2016. We're New York based. We basically, after the Pulse nightclub shooting, the actual co-founders of Gays Against Guns, Kevin Herzog, John Grawweiler, and Brian Wirth, just sort of called a meeting of our communities at the LGBT Center here in New York. Because for folks who don't know the Pulse nightclub shooting, the Pulse nightclub was a queer nightclub. The shooting happened on a Latino night. You know, it was just a bunch of people having fun, and a incredibly disturbed individual came in and shot up the place, killing 49 people, injuring another 52 people before he was killed by law enforcement. And our community was just sort of reeling. The queer LGBTQIA2S+ communities across this country just reeled from it. And so New York being very much a center of activism going back to the Stonewall uprising, New Yorkers just sort of New Yorkers and allies gathered at our LGBT center just to talk it through. And out of that first meeting, Gays Against Guns was formed. And what we decided to do was to bring to the gun violence prevention movement something that we felt was missing, which was direct action activism. There were, you know, when we looked at the at what folks who were engaged in the fight were doing, they were doing a lot of great work. They were doing policy summits, and they were doing vigils, and they were doing, you know, doing ad campaigns, and they were doing a lot of great work and meeting with politicians, et cetera. And all of that's incredibly vital. But what we felt was really missing was that direct action piece, that piece where you go out, you protest, where you call out the villains in the piece. And we thought that harkening back to the work of organizations like ACT UP, which just completely revolutionized the American healthcare system just from doing direct action and doing smart research, we felt that we could bring that kind of queer energy and a lot of fabulousness and a lot of glitter to the fight.
That's awesome. So direct action, talk about that. You touched on it. What is direct action?
Yeah, so direct action can take a lot of different paths, but it's essentially protesting. It's essentially getting out into the streets. It sometimes includes risking arrest. Mm-hmm. Other times it is about creating a visual event that strikes a chord in the public consciousness. It can be marches, it can be rallies, it can be a picket line outside of someone who is doing wrong in society, or someone in your group feels is doing wrong in society. It can take a lot of different paths, but the real point of it is to call attention in a very public way to the issue at hand. And that's the focus that Gays Against Guns decided to take in the gun violence prevention movement. We started our first big action to go back. The Pulse massacre happened on June 12th, 2016, a Sunday, very, very early Sunday morning. 2 weeks after that, as it happened, was the annual NYC Heritage of Pride March, which has been going on since a year after Stonewall in one iteration or the other. And so our immediate choice for our first direct action was to participate in that Heritage of Pride March. One of our city council members, named Corey Johnson, very graciously, since it was so late in the game, we couldn't register to participate because the registration had closed weeks before. So one of our city council members gave us his space in the parade. All the elected officials are near the front of the parade. So that worked really well for us.
That's cool.
And we had someone who was at that first meeting and who participated early on, who was actually a burlesque performer, very well-known burlesque performer named Tigger Ferguson, came up with the idea. Yeah, Tigger.
Nice.
Who's a great person. He had a residency in Las Vegas a couple of years ago.
He's wow.
really great, great and very renowned burlesque performer. He came up with the idea that we have stuck with ever since of representing the people who had been killed by gun violence, who'd lost their lives to gun violence. And in this case, in that first action at that Pride Parade, we had 49 people dressed all in white, everyone veiled, so you really couldn't make out their individual faces, but each one holding a placard with a photograph, the name, and a little bit of information of each of the 49 people who were killed at the Pulse nightclub. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly powerful. The one image from that year's Pride Parade that was put on the front cover of the New York Times the next day on Monday was an image of some of our activists. We called that project the Human Beings. And we have employed and deployed the human beings constantly throughout the years to represent hundreds and hundreds of victims of gun violence.
Yeah, that's powerful. What was the reaction of people in the parade that saw this?
Pulse was very much on everyone's mind that year because it had just happened. And so we were, the response was overwhelmingly positive. We also did other things during the parade that weren't quite as sanctioned. We did a die-in we did several die-ins actually throughout the course of the parade where we just stopped the parade and we laid down and we did a die-in to just represent the fact that people are killing people because of their sexual orientation. And the response was overwhelming. People really responded. They joined Gays Against Guns. Those early days, we had meetings with over 100, 100 people showing up at our meetings. It's a lot less now. that kind of activism is hard to sustain for a lot of folks.
Yeah, right.
But the other piece is that, direct action activism had kind of waned in a lot of ways, especially during the Obama years, because it's sort of the people on the left, for the most part, felt good about Obama, except for in a few areas. Mm-hmm. But even before that, you didn't see a lot of direct action activism just sort of across the board. It sort of died out after sort of the 80s and the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And what we feel that Gays Against Guns did in a large part is to sort of put a shot in the arm to that approach to activism so that 6 months later, after the election of 2016, you saw the rise in that sort of resistance to some really horrible political ideas and policies, and that sustained a lot of people on the left for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that here in just a little bit as we're up against it. But I think that's it's fascinating to hear, people that are in this realm. And what I want to talk about here upcoming is I want to hear, because I know in this sphere, you have contact with people who have been there. And I want to hear some of those stories. And I want to hear, how they are affected and all of that, because this is such a huge part of that discussion. So we're going to continue that here coming up on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker.